Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Merry Christmas, everybody. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. In Luke 24, verse 45 through 52, and I'm going to read. Maybe we could turn those lights on, Pastor, so that those folks can see. Scriptures. You need a Bible. A red one is under the seat in front of you, behind you, underneath you, somewhere there. Hallelujah. Verse 45 says, and when he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures, he told them, this is what was written. The Christ will suffer and raise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witness of these things. I am going to send you what my Father promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Jesus is the reason for this season. Amen. And while we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the greatest celebration is the fact that we ourselves, hallelujah, have the privilege of telling the world about that birth and the purpose of his birth. And that is that the world themselves, being lost in their sin, would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, just as we did. Amen? And so it is a great blessing to celebrate this time, the birth of Jesus. The Bible tells us in the same Luke 24, he says, when Jesus had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he blessed them, he left them and was taken into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. In Acts chapter 1, verse 13 through 14, we find these same disciples that Jesus had blessed. And as they return to Jerusalem, they're going to await the promise of the Father. You see, today God's promise is ours. He promised us to live a life of prosperity, a life of success, a life that is peculiar, that is not the ordinary life of individuals all over the world. He promised us to live a life above standard because we are going to live a life as we are led by the Spirit of God. Amen? And so, the disciples were gathered in an upper room, and I've learned something interesting about such gathering. The houses in Palestine at that time often had an upper chamber used for gatherings, and it is accessible by stairs, and you all might well know on the outside of the house that leads to that upper chamber. In Belize, you may know that there are stairs outside that goes to the upstairs. Amen? In Acts 12:12, we note that such a house belonged to the mother of Mark. And perhaps that's where these people were meeting. And the disciples were gathered in one accord, constantly in prayer, waiting expectantly for something to happen. You know, this really reminds us as we are today. When we gather together in prayer, and when we hear the word of God and we believe his word, we are constantly in expectation that when we speak God's word, what he says must come to pass. It's called faith. That's how God wants us to live. He says, man will not live by sight, but by faith. The child of a living God lives by faith. So the believers will gather together, and it is essential to Christian fellowship. We gather to encourage one another and to receive instructions and counsel, and above all, to join in worship to our Heavenly Father. Our prayers and our songs of praise at such times are very pleasing to God and vital for us. So today, we have experienced that which is vital to us because it was pleasing to God. When God is pleased with you, good things happen in your life. And today, as we sing our songs and we hear the specials that we sing and the praise that went up and the Lord's Supper that we took and our prayers and thanksgiving to him, God is pleased. Well, these disciples were gathered together in this room, waiting expectantly for a promise of God. And that promise is the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25, it says, "And let us consider how we may exhort one another. Let us not give up or forsake the assembly of ourselves together the habit of some, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You know, this scripture tells us that we should not forsake the assembly of believers. Do you know that when you come to church, it's an act of obedience to the Lord? He commands us that we come together so we can encourage one another. We never know who is hurting. We never know the situation. A person may be able to smile and laugh, but on the inside, they're hurting. They don't want to burden others with their concern. So there is always a good presentation of themselves. But inside, they're hurting. And so we pray for one another. And they are waiting to hear a word of encouragement, because if God has done it for her, if God has done it for him, he also can do it for me. This is the reason why we give testimonies. That's how important it is. Forsake not the assembly of believers. It is a command from God. Praise the name of Jesus. So these disciples, they gather in this room, and it was not limit to the apostles only. They were not just men. Some were women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. And this was the last direct mention of her in the Bible, of course, in Acts 1:14. They were all there, waiting for God's promise. Expectantly. I read this scripture verse because I want us to develop the habit of waiting on the Lord expectantly. You see, when you wait on the Lord expectantly, it tells God that you read what he has to say and you believed it. You are expecting it to happen. Faith is not just something that you have. It is something that you developed. And faith is developed from the inside out. The Spirit of God the promise of God. This is the reason why God had these disciples to wait for the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father in Scripture, is, as we know it, is the Spirit of God. And he speaks to our spirit. Because the Spirit of God lives inside the spirit of the believer. And so that inner man has received a message from the Holy Spirit. And faith is listening to the inner man by way of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God does not speak of his own accord. He does not speak of himself. He only speaks what he hears the Father says. And so when the Spirit of God speaks to you through your inner man, through your spirit, it relates that message to your mind. Now, in your mind, you need to trust the Word of God. And the trust of God, of the Word of God, is demonstrated through your waiting expectantly. You are expecting what God says to be so. Amen. Hallelujah. And these disciples and these women, 120 of them overall, they were waiting for the promise of God expectantly. You know, it is fitting to think of Mary in this setting, the mother of Jesus. She was not seeking prominence. She was not like some pastors who wants to sit on the high chair with the highest backing and on the highest level and will take every kinds of accolade presented to them. She did not seek a place of notoriety. Mary recognized that she was in need of a Savior like everyone else, and she had received the Savior like everyone else, even though the Savior was her son. I love the song that our sister sung, this Mary, did you know that the baby that you brought into this world will one day, that you delivered, will one day deliver you. Is that how the song says? Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? It's an incredible line in that song. Did you know that the baby you delivered will one day deliver you? Mary pondered upon the things that he heard the shepherds say and the wise men speak of. He pondered upon the fact that the baby that was in her womb was of the Holy Spirit of God. The song says, when you kiss your baby, did you know you kissed the face of God? You know, it is awesome. Well, these disciples heard what the Lord had said to them, and they waited expectantly, as should we. If the Word of God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, in spite of our situations or predicament, that's how we should believe. If God says, I have given you all things pertaining to this life and godliness, that's how you should believe. If God says you should not fear because I have overcome the world, that's how you should feel. That's how you should walk. That's how you should live. That's your mindset. It's called waiting expectantly that the Word of God may be manifest in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. So Mary did not seek prominence because she herself was a brother or a sister in Christ. Amen. Even though she was the mother of Jesus, she was also a born again believer and needs the aid of the Holy Spirit for a successful ministry. Over the years, we have heard the story of the birth of Christ. Around this time, people don't preach the birth of Christ in June. We preach it around December, the 25th of December, because it's Christmas time. But this year, the Lord impressed upon my heart, okay, speak about it in the beginning of the month. Because on the last Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, when you speak, I want you to speak of my purpose. I want you to speak of the purpose I sent that baby boy, my son, into the world. And I want you to speak of how it is going to benefit my children, the born-again believers all over the world. You know, I listened to several Christmas songs, and it's talking to boys and girls all over the world that they better watch out. They better not pout. And Santa Claus is coming to town. And he knows if you're good or bad or sleeping or whatever it is. You're not going to get a toy. You know, God wants me to speak to his children. And he wants to bring a bigger message than a little toy. As much as a child enjoy having the toy, we as God's children should be exuberated. We should be happy when we hear what God has for us. Hallelujah. You see, I thought about it. The presents are under the Christmas tree. Our present was hung on the tree. And his name was Jesus. And he gave us a present that will not be destroyed or not wrath. He gave us a present that will last for all eternity. He gave us eternal life. But this present, when we ask a little, what would my son or my daughter does with the toy train? Oh, they would put it on a track and they would play it around. What will she do with the little doll? Oh, she's going to play house with it. The doll is going to be her baby or whatever the imagination was. But what are we going to do with eternal life? We are going to live it. We will live eternal life. And so we must know what the present is. If you give me eternal life, Lord, what is it? Eternal life is living in the blessings of God. All of God's blessings. Everything that God has to offer. That's what it is. That's what we received. We received healing for our life. And all we need to do is receive it by faith. We receive deliverance from every situation. No, I'm saying we receive it, but God wants us to share it. He wants us to share it with others that they too may experience it. Christmas time is Jesus time. It is a time to share Jesus with the world around us. It is a time to reflect on how God's love knows no boundaries, that he gave his only begotten son to die in our place. Hallelujah, praise the name of Jesus. Well, as they, disciples, were sitting in the room, waiting expectantly, what God had to offer came. The Bible tells us that the room shook. And there was a song as of a mighty wind. And the room was filled with this sound and this noise and this presence. And when you look around, they could not see anything. You see, because his spirit is not visible. Well, some of the disciples there were fishermen. They're used to rushing winds, a tempest blow against the sails of their boat. So they could have easily dismissed it as a weather acting up. Everyone else who were there, the women were there, they probably have seen their windows bang shut and open because the wind outside is so heavy. And so they could have easily dismissed it, that there's a storm coming. But you see, the God that we serve, he operates in the natural by way of a supernatural. In the room, the Bible says that there were tongues as a fire, and it descended upon each and every one of them. No, it's not just one big tongue of fire, tongues of fire. Every single individual is very significant. It means that if you are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, you are also, and you are also. Each individual have received power from on high. God is not a respecter of person. And so when you come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Bible says he gives you that power. The power of God comes to live on the inside of you. And so you can say to yourself, I have living in me the power of God. Hallelujah. I have living in me the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God is the power of God to salvation for all who will believe. That's what you have living in you. So now, if you have a loved one or a friend, a workmate or a neighbor who you perceived in your spirit that may not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you have the power of God on the inside of you, which is able to bring salvation to all who will believe. Now you begin to see the picture. Because now, God wants you to share that power. He wants you to share that word because you have the knowledge that it has the power to free that individual from his or her predicament. So what is the predicament I'm talking about? Did you know that the very one that you say, I love you, if you perceive that individual to not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that very individual may stand condemned. The Bible says if one has Christ, he has life. But if one does not have the Son of God, he stands condemned. And so you have that power on the inside of you to free that individual from that condemnation, that that individual may have life just as you have life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the message is clear for 2018. The message is clear. It is not about church. It's not about running around and telling everyone I am a Christian. It's not about just receiving from God. It's about giving just as God gave. Forgive because God has forgiven you. Show mercy because he has shown mercy to you. Have grace because he has given you grace. Love because he had loved you. You see, pardon because he has pardoned you. It's about expressing what God meant to you. Father, you have set me free from my situations, and I will share this with others. And the only way I can share it with others is to share your power, which is able to set free those who believe. It's what we call Christianity. It's what we call preaching and teaching the word of God. So this is our direction from this day forward. Before the air is up, here is your Christmas gift to your neighbor. It's a simple one. It's free for us, so we need not charge. We just give it away free. Free receive, freely give. Amen? It's what the scripture says. So it's a simple one. Do you want to give the best Christmas gift for the year? Tell them about Jesus. It is the best Christmas gift you can give. Parents, the best Christmas gift you can give your children is to make a decision today that I am going to live in front of them the way God wants me to live. Because our children follows in our footsteps. If we walk contrary to God, they walk contrary to God. If we walk in line with the word, exhibiting principles and conduct and mannerisms that is right in the sight of God, they do the same. And if they walk in expectations of God's blessing, they will receive God's blessing. You know, the Bible tells us that. He says, when you pray, you see, many of us, we teach our children to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. The night I pass by, and tomorrow morning I wake up. Something like that. I don't remember. We teach our children to pray. And why we teach our children to pray is because we want God to intervene into their life. Well, God has given us the privilege to do so. He said that they waited expectantly to receive something from God. It came, and now they could share it, the power of God. And we as parents and we as loved ones and cousins and aunts and uncles, we can share that power with one another and with our children. You know, the Bible says, when we pray, believe that we have received, and that which we ask is ours. You imagine you're teaching your children that concept, that precept, that when they pray, they believe they have received. Why? Because my mommy or my daddy told me that God is faithful to his word. Because my mother and father told me that if I ask God for something according to his will, he will give it to me. The best minds to train is the mind of a child. That's why the Bible says, train a child in the way they should go, and the end thereof they will not depart from it. Hallelujah. But then we have the adults who are seeking for an answer. They tried the latter, they lost. Believe it. Only one individual out of millions will win the latter. Oh, it's like dropping a straw in a field somewhere and hoping to find it after wind has blown and twisted all around. It's virtually impossible. We don't go, we can't wait that long. We want to be able to experience eternal life now because we have it now. Amen? It is the truth that God has given us eternal life and we have it now. But a lot of us are not experiencing it now because we're not living it. If you want to experience a bicycle ride, you must jump on the bike and ride. If you want to experience a train ride, you must get on the train and ride. You see what I'm saying? If you want to experience a plane ride, you got to get on the plane. If you want to experience a bungee jump, you got to get your foot tied at the bottom and jump off the cliff. I tell you, you got to do it. even though it may seem crazy, yes. Amen? If you want to experience eternal life, you must make your mind up today to live it. Amen? Give the Lord a hand. You know what? Over the few months that has gone by, I have highly expressed how important it is for us to witness. Amen? Amen. Because the Bible speaks of a time when there will be no more opportunities to witness for us. And the Bible speaks of a time when our loved ones may not have an opportunity to hear. So, this is the time we do it. Don't wait until it's too late to witness to your loved ones, to be an example to your children, and to demonstrate God before your neighbor. Let's all stand.